Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Bryce Diamond, post-game versus the Brooklyn Nets. But as tiring as maybe it was for the players who played for the Raptors to go against the Brooklyn Nets on their home court, to face Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, what was the most tiring thing yesterday was watching that Canada game. Now, first and foremost, the Canadian men's national soccer program and, sorry, team, the national team, I am as proud as them as can be. Yes, this is a Raptors podcast. Yes, we talk about the NBA, but we talk about sports. And you know that Zaya and I are massive, massive soccer fans, especially for the Canadian men's national soccer team. We love the women's national soccer team as well. But the man on full display, center stage yesterday, taking on number two ranked Belgium. The first time Canadian men have been at the World Cup since 1986. Only one of the players, you've probably heard this before, was even born in 1986. I did not watch World Cup soccer in 1986. That came later in 1994 when it was in the United States. But boy, oh boy, this team was best in North America, in CONCACAF, as they call it, in qualification. They play against the number two ranked team. We were ranked, Canada's ranked 41st. Now, I think those numbers for both sides are a bit off. I would put Belgium maybe 5 or 6, and I'd put Canada probably 27-28. But regardless, this was a very experienced, very talented, very accomplished Belgian team going up against a very inexperienced, young, youthful, upstart, emerging Canada team. And Canada didn't just hold their own. They set the tempo. They forced Belgium to deal with their strengths, Canada's strengths. Canada ended up losing the game 1-0. There was a missed penalty by Canada. There was missed penalty calls by the referee, at least one in my opinion. And it was a mentally and emotionally exhausting game as a witness, as a spectator of sport and a team that is close to my heart. Now, speaking of spectating, the game for the Toronto Raptors was spectated not just by a sellout crowd at the Scotiabank Arena, but spectated by Fred VanVleet, Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, Otto Porter Jr., Delano Banton, Precious Achiuwa, a lot of guys for our Raptors were not available for this game, which has been a theme for almost the entirety of this season. We started off the season quite well, and then Fred VanVleet gets injured. Pascal Siakam, having an all-NBA start to the season, he gets injured. He's probably out for 3 weeks. And then it's been one guy after another after another. And somehow, despite all the spectating that, you know, the top 7-8 guys on the team have done, we still come into this game against the Brooklyn Nets, star-studded over the cap Nets, with a 9-8 record and 6-1 at home. And after playing the Atlanta Hawks, a team who has visions of grandeur to be a top four team in the Eastern Conference, just not being able to finish that game strong, and take care of business, we go into this game with a 6-1 record at home. Now, knowing that Ben Simmons is playing better basketball, knowing that Kyrie is back and he is playing solid, knowing who Kevin Durant is, a top 5 or 6 player in the league, we know what he's done for his career, this was always going to be a difficult game. Add to the fact that we don't play against the Nets particularly well. We never have been able to figure out Kyrie for the most part. We haven't really been able to figure out Kevin Durant. We're not a team who plays well against either one of those stars. This was going to be a tricky game. Now, Chris Boucher was back in the lineup. That's good news. But really, start to finish, we were playing catch-up. And when you look at the numbers, you can see that this was a struggle, a real struggle for us. When you see a number like OG Anunoby, minus 29. When you see Malachi Flynn starting and he's a minus 19, you know you're going to have a real difficult game. Now, there were some bright spots. Thad Young played a solid game, just 1 turnover, 5 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. Good to see Gary Trent Jr. back in the lineup after he was out 3 or 4 games with a hip contusion or hip issue and also some non-COVID related illness. But he shot 1 of 8 from behind the arc and was 6 of 9 from the free throw line, a guy who shot almost 90% from the free throw line last year. Chris Boucher, as I said, was back in the lineup, but he was 0 for 3 from downtown, was 2 of 15 from the field. He was 8 of 8 from the line and did have 16 rebounds, no turnovers, and he had 12 points overall. So his game actually had impact. And certainly when you look at the two lineups, the strength of the Brooklyn Nets is their starters, where for us with 3 of our starters out of the lineup, that was not a strength of ours, but our bench was much stronger than their bench. Yuta Watanabe not available for this game. And shoutouts to Yuta. What a start for him. 57% from behind the arc, leading the NBA through 18 games of the season. I wish he shot 37% last year for us. But really exciting to see him have a good year. I don't think he's going to be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year, but he is playing very good basketball. And with that ability to shoot the 3-ball that well, if he has consistency in that, he will be a big part of their bench unit that could help them make a push for maybe the 4 seed in the East, but also be really helpful come playoff time. Malachi Flynn as a starter wasn't strong. 3 of 12 last night. OG Anunoby finished the night 7 of 20 from the field, 0 for 3 from downtown, 5 turnovers, too much was asked of him, and he's just not at that level as a playmaker, as a shot creator. He's a shot maker, but not a shot creator. And the Raptors really struggled, 35% from the field, 24% from behind the arc. This was not their best game, but the positive, good to see Gary and Chris Boucher back in the lineup. Herman Gomez, Juancho, who's basically the Spanish Yuta Watanabe for us this season. He had 10 and 10 and was a +4 off the bench. The bench actually did their job. 4 of the 5 guys coming off the bench were plus in the plus minus department. Good to see Ron Harper Jr. get a run. Now, I did have a bit of a beef with Nick Nurse and the coaching staff last night because Ron Harper Jr. and Doughton Jr. were playing for the Toronto Raptors instead of the 905. And here's why. I was at the Raptors 905 game where they lost a close one to the Long Island Nets. Chris Chozo was on that team. And gosh, is he a standout at the G League level? He's kind of one of those guys who just isn't good enough to really break in to a pro lineup and get good minutes. But at the G League level, he is a flat-out all-star, and he was very good last night, made life difficult for our backcourt, and certainly without the starting backcourt for the 905 of Doughton Jr. and Harper Jr. with the Toronto Raptors, they didn't have the push offensively that they needed to win that game. But good to be at a 905 game. It was my first Raptors 905 game that I was present for. Got to go with a good friend, Dave Huckwith. And shout out to Hucker, longtime friend. He was changing my diapers when I was a kid. He's about, 16 years older than me. So a guy that I've known almost since birth. He's known me since birth, family friend, great connection, great to go to the game with him. I would love to have him on the pod one time. He's got a great mind for the game of basketball, and organizationally, he understands the game as well. Great player development guy in baseball. That's his number one sport, but he knows a lot about player development in basketball, has a lot of love and respect for what Bobby and Masai do, and as a lawyer, has some understanding about what agents do as well. So great to see the game with him. Maybe we'll get him on as a guest. Speaking of guests, we have a growing list of guests that are going to be on the pod. I still haven't had a chance to connect with Aldo Barovia, and hope that I can. Would love to have him on the pod again. Again, Aldo is a teacher in Markham, had some students on the podcast last year. Got to have a conversation with him just before Christmas 2021. So hoping he can be on the pod before Christmas this year. And speaking of other people on the podcast, trying to get Courtney and Zaya back on. It's been hard to coordinate. We were supposed to be at Drip House. Much love to Ray, one of the owners at Drip House, a cafe in Ottawa. They have three locations. One is in Somerset, on Somerset in Chinatown, not too far from my house. We were trying to get there for our first live recording and, in another location. And it would have been great to be able to be there. Ray's a big NBA fan. Maybe we can get him on the pod when we do the live recording. But weren't able to do it because of some family health concerns that have hit my family. And so I've been in Mississauga much of the last 3 weeks. And that's partly why I've been doing a lot of recording by myself. But hopefully we can get back on the pod, coordinate it with Courtney and Zaya. Always a lovely time. Also always brings me joy, like Pascal playing basketball brings me joy when Courtney and Zaya are on and the JV's big three are together. But I guess there's lots of injuries around. There's lots of complications around the Raptors, and so it only makes sense. It's apropos that there would be some complications with us. Another guest that's coming on the pod, maybe later this month, maybe before Christmas, hopefully before Christmas, Jenna Tenyuk, big fan of hers. Jenna is a poet. Jenna is a writer, a speaker. Jenna is a really amazing human, also a community leader and community advocate. Can't wait to have Jenna on the pod. Huge Raptors fan, knows the league well. Is quite articulate about the game and about fandom and the culture surrounding. So hoping to get Jenna on the pod soon. So yeah, lots of guests, lots of possibilities around who might be on the show. And hopefully as we get JV back together and those guests back on, the Raptors will be back on the court. Their whole starting lineup, healthy and whole. Should we get healthy, I think we are going to have a much better record than 9-9, which we currently have after the loss to the Nets last night. Now, Kyrie, who I said had just come back in the last 3-4 days, he's now played 3 games for the Brooklyn Nets in that time. Somehow they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. They beat Memphis, beat us, but lost to the Philadelphia 76ers, who also are ravaged by injuries. No Embiid, No Maxey, no Harden for them. But Kyrie back, and he was great last night. In fact, so good that Kevin Durant just cruised. Just 10 shots from Kevin Durant last night. When's the last time Kevin Durant's only shot 10 in a game? My gosh. Kyrie Irving was 11 of 16. Ben Simmons continues to play well. He's now had 5 or 6 good games. He had 14 points, 6 assists, just 1 turnover. And that starting lineup just blew us out. They were without, as I said, Yuta Watanabe, the league's best three-point shooter. Also without another sharpshooter, Seth Curry. He sat out last night's game. But yeah, they cruised through their starting lineup. And, you know, when you've got guys like Royce O'Neal, 5 for 8 from downtown. Kyrie also was 5 for 8 from downtown. It's just too much offense from that starting group to even touch them. They shot 54% from the field, 44%, almost 45% from downtown. And that was a big difference in this one because we just couldn't shoot the ball. And unfortunately, had too much riding on OG Anunoby. I thought Doughton actually could have started last night because he's a better playmaker. But, you know, these things happen. These things happen, and you get into difficult situations and with injuries, and you lose some ball games. And this was a bad loss, but there's silver lining. We're getting other guys involved. OG Anunoby's game has certainly improved this season. He's getting opportunities he wouldn't have if everybody was healthy. So you got to look at the brighter side. And it was good to have Gary Trent Jr. and Chris Boucher back in the lineup. Now, when I look at the NBA standings, and I think we've touched on this on a couple pods recently, you know, life isn't so bad. The 76ers are also 9-9 like this. The Brooklyn Nets are 9-10. The Bulls are 8-10. The Heat are 8-11. And knowing that we've had just as much, if not more, injuries than them, and a lot more is expected, especially from the Sixers, Nets, and Heat, and there's only a short window that they're going to be able to have winning seasons, knowing that Jimmy Butler is getting older. He's in his mid-30s now. Kevin Durant is 34. DeMar DeRozan is 32, I believe. And then, of course, James Harden is in his 30s. Embiid's body, you know, is just not consistent, so you hope he can be healthy with James Harden at 34. The window is closing on those teams. And knowing that we've got the Knicks, Wizards, and Pacers ahead of us should easily be able to catch and go past those three teams. I think we're in a pretty good spot, all things considered. There's games we'd obviously want back, like that Hawks game and probably the Nets game at the very start of the season. But you look at what's happened to us and look at our record and the teams around us, you know what? Life's okay. We'll make a run when everyone gets healthy, and we'll be right in the thick of things for that 4 or 5 playoff spot, I'm sure. In the Western Conference, similar things have happened. There's been big injuries to the Trailblazers after they started off fast. The Mavericks have struggled. The Warriors have had a difficult start to the season. But then there's the Sacramento Kings, who have taken full advantage of all the injuries and inconsistencies of teams. And they're in 5th place, 10-7 record. They were 8-2 going into their last game, which they lost. But they're doing okay. The Suns also taking advantage of the injuries that have hit their Western Conference rivals. They're number 1 in the West, nowhere near the kind of record that they've had last year, but they're 9-1 at home. It helps when you play 10 games at home this early in the season through 17 games, but they've done very well, both at home and in the conference, 10-3. So we'll see what happens with them as time goes on and the Clippers get to full strength, the Nuggets not only get to full strength, but you know, back to form with Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. And as the Grizzlies get Ja Morant back and the Mavs and Warriors get back on track, I think it'll be difficult for the Suns to keep that one seed. That's all I'm saying. Lots going on in the world of sports with the World Cup on right now. Lots going on with the Raptors, but the biggest thing for the Raps, get healthy, get back together, and start creating some momentum for the new year in December. I've heard rumors that Pascal Siakam is going to be back as soon as next week, Monday or Tuesday. Hopefully Freddie and Scotty are healthy and are ready to go at that time too. Wouldn't it be great for December 1st to have our whole lineup back together, save Precious Achiuwa, and really begin to build strong and get back to the type of basketball we know we can play and be a real contender in the Eastern Conference, a playoff contending team. All right, y'all. Hope you've had a good day. Much love from Saga, and we'll catch up to you soon. Peace. I think I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your passion. I do.